Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, the Monica Royer of Monica and Andy. Funny story, I get into it right off the bat. We both met each other when they were getting started, and I was just kind of figuring my stuff out at Soho House in Chicago. A lot of things have changed, including now I'm a customer of Monica and Andy's, which is kind of crazy. I can't even imagine. We did the unveiling of my child-to-be's name on the show. That's something that my wife is... I didn't get permission for that. And for those of you in this position, you know that's probably important. But you know what? Monica brought a gift. And so I feel like no matter what happens, Jen can't be upset with me because I got a gift. And she's going to love it. Let's just say that. Monica and Andy, if you don't know what it is, if you probably don't have kids. If you have kids, you know what it is. They've got two locations. I love the store. If you're a person like me who's OCD and you're obsessive about like colors matching and all this other stuff, this is the store for you. We go into a whole bunch of stuff. Her brother who co-founded this is also one of the co-founders of Bonobus, which if you don't know, now you know. Really cool, interesting story about what I think is the future of retail. It's about experiences in person, analog, and digital that just is amazing. And they do a fantastic job. And it goes all the way from the brand and the experiences, which she learned while actually working out of the back of the first store, all the way down to kind of figuring out what social media means to the customer and how to use it to learn what they want and so forth. Great conversation in general. I am any minute now expecting a text message that says, I'm going to the hospital. That's where I'm at in life. If you're not there, well, when you get there, you're going to realize, holy cow, is it exciting? It's a little bit anxiety causing, but it's exciting nonetheless. So these shows, as I'm doing them, I'm almost like, what am I doing here? I'm like waiting and looking at my phone. I'm distracted, so I apologize. But I can tell you that this show is definitely a fantastic one, whether or not you are a parent already. Great business takeaways and tidbits. Before we talk to Monica, got to check in with our startup inbox, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up with ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. Okay, here's the question. Oliver Treadwell. In this day and age of super and hyper giant funding rounds, obviously Oliver's not from Chicago, what defines a startup as a true unicorn? Well, that's pretty simple. A unicorn is a company that's valued at over $1 billion. Whether or not this is considered true or understanding this is like real or not is a totally different conversation. Chicago lacks the hyper funding rounds that you speak of. There have been a few. Most of them haven't gone that well, so I can understand why there haven't been more than that. But Chicago needs to spend more money. We need investors who are putting more money into companies faster, but that obviously leaves a lot of responsibility on the companies themselves, which gets to the answer to this question. Simple answer is just value the company at $1 billion at your next round and there's your unicorn. The truthful answer should be companies that are actually, you know, either profitable or have a clear path to profit and are valued at $1 billion, or even better, if they're not valued at $1 billion based on pre and post money investment, but rather based on multiples of their revenue or profit. I think that would be a true unicorn. We have a handful in town, including my partner's company, SMS Assist. That's a unicorn. I don't know. Good question. I think ultimately the unicorn thing is sort of a, it was really interesting in the beginning with the Facebooks of the world because there were so few $1 billion companies. Now there's so many of them. We need to come up with a different term. I think it's like a unicorn that with bigger hooves. I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going with this. Here's my conversation with Monica Royer, CEO, co-founder of Monica and Andy. How far both of our companies have gone since I saw you sitting on the rooftop. Was it? I think it was Andy that you were with.
Yeah, actually, I think it was my co-founder, Brian Bloom.
Oh, okay,
so
Brian,
my CFO, right, Brian. Yeah.
Yes.
We were always like, that was the old days where we had time to
hang out. It's like, it's not hang out because we were working and I was doing the same. I was there sort of piecing together what I thought my future was going to be.
Totally.
And if I asked you then and you asked me then, we'd be like, we don't have any time for cocktails and hanging out. Like, we're working. And now in retrospect, you're like, oh my God, like I had so much time and I didn't even realize it.
Yes. In those days, I feel like Soho House here, when it first opened in Chicago, was kind of a small town.
Yes.
Because it was like this startup community and there was all sort of startup founders that couldn't quite afford an office yet. Yep. And so in the summer, you would sit outside. It was so nice. And I feel like none of us were like swimming or enjoying the pool.
No.
But it was just amazing to catch some of like the brief good weather that we have here.
I don't want to knock. You're not a Soho House member anymore?
I'm not, only because now I have an office.
Yes.
I still like Soho House, but I feel like it just didn't, it was like my office.
Yes. So same here. We're at 300 North of Sal, so we're above Chicago Cut. Mm-hmm. So that's my new, like if I have to, which I have to a lot, go down for either a drink or food. I mean, the story of people who have come out successfully out of Soho House, my friends from RX Bar, they were there all the time, Peter and Jared. My buddies from Dude Products, there all the time, Sean Riley. You, and there's like two or three others that I know. And I think, I don't want to knock on Soho House, and this is completely off topic, but like, to your point, there was a bunch of founders, several of which were what I would call repeat founders, but not the repeat that had like tremendous success.
Right.
They had enough success to like be able to try again.
Yep.
And Soho House at that time, I felt like was really accommodating to like the needs that we all kind of as a group had. It was like, you know, it wasn't so commercial.
Exactly.
And it just got that way.
It did. And you know what? It was great. I mean, it just, it got more popular and it just gained this like bigger following of people. And so,
which is good for them.
Awesome for them.
Yeah, good for them.
But when you're just there to like literally sit and sip your coffee all day long, maybe we weren't the best long-term customers.
Probably not. I mean, they could have at least put a Monica and any pop-up in there. I feel like that's reasonable
the
request.
The least they could have done. I totally agree.
I think every bathroom should have had Dude Products and you walk outside, Monica and Andy's right in front and RX Bars for breakfast and we would still be there.
We would
that
still
I
be
promise
there.
You.
Exactly.
And so obviously a lot of things have changed over the last few years. For you guys, it's just been tremendous growth. For me, it's a new addition to my family coming literally any minute. My wife, this is a funny side story that has nothing to do with anything, was very critical of a couple of podcasts I had. And I'm like, man, like I feel like I do a pretty good job of like letting the guests roll out. It turns out she's only listened to like 17 seconds of the show.
That's
she promised
so funny.
Me that if I had you on the show, she would listen to the entire show.
That's,
so for once, I have my wife's attention.
What's her name?
Jen.
Jen. Well, hello to Jen. Hopefully you're listening to this. And congratulations to both of you on your almost arrival of your game-changing, life-changing moment with your brand new baby
little
on
girl,
the way.
Little girl.
Oh.
And we can do this. This show comes out in a week, which by the time this airs, we could have a child. So I can share with you and everyone the name. The child is Vivian. So the baby daughter, Vivian, will be hopefully sporting her Monica and Andy outfit, I undoubtedly, on her way home from the hospital. So
I love that.
Super excited.
And just
that.
Wait, soon she'll be running your life. My daughter is now 8 and I've like, because this job has been so busy for me, I take her almost everywhere with me. And we did a fireside chat at Farmer's Fridge last week. And so she came.
Luke, my guy.
He's awesome. So she listens to it on the Uber ride home. I'm like, how did I do? And she's like, oh, you say the same thing like every single time. She's like, honestly, I'm going to have to bring a book or something next time. Like, Mom, I think you do a good job, but you got to change up the story. She's like, you're going everywhere and you're telling everyone this same story. And I'm like, well, it's kind
all of... All you do is talk about clothing for babies.
She's like, it's like the same thing again and again. Like, you got to come up with something new to talk about.
So maybe it's the fact that this is episode like 225 since I met Jen. So, you know, it might even be more than that. So maybe she when we first started dating, she would listen to all of it. And she'd be like, oh my God, I really like this founder and this founder. Mm-hmm. And then as we got like more serious, it just became kind of like, I saw you had a show. Mm-hmm. And then I was just sort of like, do you have a show?
The excitement of it wears off over time. That's
this
definitely how it happens for your kid too.
Totally. This is a great trick to like meet a person and just get to know them. And then after that, it like wears itself out. And to the point you said about the child running the life, I feel like we're not even there yet. I feel like it already is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine with.
They come in, they take over. And at least the one good thing is that you will always get the most honest opinion from your kid. So that's what I rely on her for. Like, people come and they're like, oh, you did a great job. And I'm like, Bella, but how do you think I did? She's like, yeah, it was average. It wasn't necessarily your worst or your best. It was okay.
Okay. We have to move into actually talking about the product because I know that I am a big fan. I've been to the Oakbrook store. In fact, I walked by it. We actually walked by it and we're going to go into it, but it wasn't open quite yet. On Sunday, I think it was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the Lincoln Park store, mm-hmm. which we've been in and bought several things. I always know a Monica and Andy store when I'm walking by because I see what looks like a lineup of very nice baby carts that are just the baby strollers are just lined up in a circle like a horse outside of a saloon. And that's when I know it's your store. Tell me a little bit about the actual brand and store before we get into all of the mechanics of this company, because I think that I was giving my team a quick rundown of what Monica and Andy was. They don't have kids or aren't expecting it, looks like, anytime soon.
Yeah.
And I said, I think it's the modern like it is what retail is to be in the future. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different thing. So
yeah, it's interesting. My brother had launched Bonobos in 07, and he had said for so many years, online only, online only, online only. And as a funny aside, when he decided after graduating from school that he was going to launch an online men's apparel company, my parents were like, okay, you're not that fashionable, so we're not sure that like men's fashion is the way to go. And they're like, and nobody buys anything online. I remember my parents saying that. He was like, no, I have this vision. People will. But I think one of the things that we did with Monica and Andy is like, what are the learnings that we had from Bonobos? And the key learning by the time I launched in 2014 was that offline guide shops had been such a significant customer acquisition tool. So he was like, Monica, if I did this again, I would launch online and offline simultaneously, and I would have my office in the back of my guide shop so that I could actually meet my customers. And here in Lincoln Park in Chicago, we were at 2038, now 2052 North Halsted. That is exactly what we did. And so it was amazing because every day I got to come face to face with my customers, and I had like a 2/3-year-old at the time, and I needed her to be entertained. And I realized as like a new mom, I had spent 3 years this stay at home, like kind of incubating the brand, that like experiences and like in knowledge were what brought new moms out to come and do things. And you also wanted a comfort level that you could like nurse, that you could change diapers, that it was okay if your kid threw a tantrum. And so we really had this vision for like how we could bring experiences to life. And so that has been such a significant component. Like I wanted a place where there were cookie crumbs on the floor and where people would bring their families over the holidays and be like, here's where Billy took his first couple of steps. So we love the brand, but we wanted to ingratiate ourselves into any of the physical communities where we had retail locations.
So I will tell you, as a person who's going to be a first-time parent and a male walking into the store, that everything you just said is completely validated if you walk into a Monica and Andy store. So the Oakbrook store was where, so I live in Glen Ellen, so that's the store that I frequent. And I was buying, so for our shower, I got baby and mom a gift. And, you know, thankfully you guys are like right around the corner from Tiffany's, so like it really worked out well for me. But I walked in and I had that look on my face that you've probably seen 1,000 times, which is this complete lost, foolish father who has no clue. And the people in the store, I don't know how to put this other than like to describe it for the listeners, to say like, there's no question that they were moms and that they were moms who have dealt with either their own child, first child things, or have dealt with hundreds of other people like me, because they like were not overly like aggressive. They didn't like, they let me like fumble around for a minute until I recognized I was clueless. And then I was like, what can we help you with?
Well, and you've touched on a big thing, which is that I realized as a new mom, I was constantly reinventing the wheel. Like I felt like I didn't have any other mom friends and I always felt so out of the know. Like I was kind of looking around to learn. And so we really wanted to build a brand where people could feel comfortable and confident when they came in.
Yep.
So that if they do have questions, we could kind of be like, hey, here's how we did it. Here's what we would recommend curating.
And they did. So the, awesome. the two different times that I went in where I looked, I knew I looked stupid, because the other ones I knew what I was going in for. I had been given strict directions, even so far as to say I have a picture out of my phone for my beloved wife. I knew what I was doing. The first two times I went in, though, I had no idea. I didn't even know what a swaddle is. Like, I'm looking at like thunder jackets for my dog. I don't know what's going on. And the lady at the Oakbrook store, she was so nice. She's like, and then here's the other cool part about your store. I should work there. The people who go there to shop become your big advocates. Mm-hmm. So they all pool together to help this poor, stupid father. And the one lady was like, okay, so here's how we work. Mm-hmm. We've got these kind of design themes. We've got these color SKUs that go with them. You're going to need these. You maybe don't need this yet. How old? Oh, unborn. Okay. So you need this and this and this. And then the other mom like steps in and she's like, I bought this one and this one. And it saved me so much time because I did that. Like, they showed me how to wrap a baby in your store. Literally.
I love
it. This lady used her own baby and wrapped it.
And that, hopefully it helps, because it's great to hear that. So thanks for all the kind words.
And that happened multiple times. This isn't like a one-off like thing. It's like, your store is one of those stores where, that's why I said to my team, like it's the future of how online works, because they literally, it's an experience.
It's like an experience. And we're hoping to build a connection with the customer that goes beyond just the product, because we realize, especially with our customers, we're an event-driven commerce brand. Most people discover us as they're having a baby, that we are like privileged to be a really teeny tiny small part of like the most important time in any adult's life, which is like sort of that transition to having a child.
And going from becoming a child to having a child.
Exactly.
That's where I'm at
right now. It's overnight. You're a child, then you have a child. Totally.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now, literally.
I love that. Yeah. So we just like, we feel privileged to be a part of like a small part of that journey. And so anything that we can do along the way, we can't just be selling product. We have to be like building a community and making a difference and imparting knowledge, because we remember what it was like when we had no clue. And it was not that long ago.
So as we start to dive into the business, one of the things that I find particularly fascinating, and I know that you, based on the family as well, you guys mm-hmm. get into this. Mm-hmm. Brand is so much more than the colors on the wall. Mm-hmm. Brand is something that you do when you're not running Monica Nanny. Mm-hmm. You do it at home because it's like you believe in this mm-hmm. system, and you put it forward at Monica Nanny, but you still follow it at home, to the point where when you're deciding, I'm going to become... I don't know that you probably agree with me calling it a luxury brand. It's not luxury, but it's on the higher end of like of the clientele. And when you walk in, it's very difficult in any sort of clothing line of any sort, or really anything B2C that is on the higher end spectrum, to do it in a fun, friendly, mm-hmm. family way. It's mm-hmm. always very exclusionary. It's very like, don't bring children in here. It's fancy. It's leather and whatever. Your store was one where you walk in and anyone can go in with kids and they could throw a complete temper tantrum mm-hmm. and like it you don't even hear it. It like doesn't even matter.
No. And my daughter is really who helped me to pave the way for that. Cause again, as I just learned from her, I'm like, hey, we need a place. And there were so many other moms, like in that 3-year period that I was like transitioning from like my pharmaceutical career, totally different than this. And I realized, okay, I'm going to start this company and, you know, but I'm going to take some time off with her because I didn't want to be back to work. It was like that incubation period. I met all these other moms in that same transition period. Like motherhood has sort of become a time where like you have another opportunity to like kind of transition your career, yeah. if you so choose. I mean, there's plenty of people that love their careers and they go back to doing it. But if you want to reinvent yourself and your career, motherhood is an opportunity to do that. And so I met all these other moms that had these like illustrious careers. They were also transitioning to doing different things. And we kind of came together in those early days. And like my photographer was a mom, the director of the guide shops was a mom, the person that ran brand experiences was a mom. So it was like this tight knit group of people that were living the experience of being new parents and also helping me to evangelize and build the brand at the same time. And I think it was because we were the customer. We were thinking about things just from the customer's viewpoint in a different way. Yeah. And I think that gave us a unique opportunity to build the brand through the eyes of new parents. And so we never want to let that part of the vision go.
I think it's very evident, obviously. I think it's interesting to me that this is, somebody asked me before, like, do you call this a tech company? And I was like, I kind of do. Like, not just because you sell online, but like, even what you just said now is very much in kind with the idea for investors that you want to invest only in founders who are solving a problem they suffered themselves, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're just sort of like, I don't know, chasing an opportunity, which is very different for those listening. Like having an idea that is just something you think could be cool versus solving a problem that you very, very clearly know and have been hurt by is a different kind of passion. It's the kind of passion that wakes you up at like the middle of the night and can get you through it versus just chasing dollars for whatever reason doesn't work. So I totally view you guys in the same light as I do other startups and things, but this is where I think things differ. So the tech company in the SaaS world is always just trying to work on cost of acquisition of a user. Mm-hmm. For you, it's cost of acquisition of a customer. So sure. we're very similar.
Sure.
The difference here is that I spend money one time to build this, and then I spend mm-hmm. a certain amount of money to maintain and iterate upon. Mm-hmm. Yours is a SKU-driven, supply chain management-driven mm-hmm. company, which changes everything, plus the real estate. It's like your real estate has to make money, not just like being a known exactly. sucker of capital.
Yes.
So I want to learn more about how you chose to operate your business, because I think it is, and I'm only knowing this from like the outside looking in, mm-hmm. it looks brilliant to me because it looks like you have sort of this like complete controlled SKU that like you have a perfect amount of time to drum up desire and demand and then test it and then mm-hmm. there's a lot. So walk me through how you launched Monica and Andy, the actual product line versus maybe what other people would do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we had also learned from, you know, again, early days of Bonobos, we knew, like, I think my brother launched Bonobos with 3 pairs of pants. So, you know, the kind of thesis in those early days was let's launch online and offline simultaneously, and then let's listen to our customer. I think that's a big key too, is like launch, bring product to market, but then hear what your customer has to say about it. And it was interesting. I thought we would be a blanket company. We went with like as many blankets as possible. Like we thought, okay, accessories is kind of the way in. And then we started looking online and or even in guide shops, what did customers actually buy? And we're like, oh, they're buying like 2 to 3 pieces on average.
Yep.
Okay, so we're no longer a blanket company. People are curating. A customer told me this. We're curating our child's layette. I was like, layette.
The blankets are great though. Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear.
Well, I mean, it kind of started like even in the hospital when I was there with my daughter, I got the clothes at the hospital, which are fine.
Yep.
But I'm like, oh my gosh, I've spent money on an organic mattress. And my husband and I are startup founders, so it's not like we're playing with a ton of money to begin with. Yeah. We're just regular people. But you have your first child and you're like, hey, I'm going to spend some money on this kid. And I realized right away, like, wow, I wish that I had brought my own blanket. And so those were like the first products.
It's the special moments. So this is really funny. I don't want to get off topic. I just want to add this one thing because I literally on the way in today, I heard this from two moms. One, I think, was first child. The other one appeared to have other children on the train in. And they were talking about the fact that they didn't realize how much more the experience could have been for their family than the first child until they had the second kid. They were like, the first time they didn't know enough. Mm-hmm. And so they missed out on what they thought were better photographs that were more emotional and like impromptu. The baby wasn't ready. They didn't have clothing. The mom didn't prepare and have clothing or makeup or things. And they felt like they missed out on a lot of experiential things that going forward, that the mom who has other kids, I almost undoubtedly is a Monica Nandy shopper at this point. Because like to your point, if I can have the take-home outfit and the first few at like 3 months and one at 6 months and one at 9, like I can make a lot more experiences out of this very short period where your kid is still not really, doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like doesn't get in trouble yet.
It's so true. We realized that we didn't realize this in the earliest of days, but to what you're saying, like we realized that we were doing something more sophisticated than we honestly set out to do. We weren't that sophisticated of humans. So we didn't have like this grand strategy.
It looks that way though.
Well, it's good. I'm glad it does. But I feel like it was like we realized that we were going out after these special moments. And what it came to me to realize after a while is that people didn't have like a real affinity for the other brands that they were buying from. There's tons of other good brands out there. As a mom, I buy from a lot of different places, but I realized over time our goal was to like tap into that emotional connection. Yep. Because with parents, those first few pictures, like you said, the first picture, then the 1 month picture and the 2 month and so on and so forth. I mean, my daughter is 8 years old now and all of those years and those moments are still so special. And you realize like you're curating for those moments and you're building that emotional connection because part of it, it will be the strawberry print that like 20 years from now, they're going to remember not the brand necessarily, but like, hey, this is what this was a photo that is captured for like ever and ever. And this is what I had my child wear. So I feel like we started to realize as we built these experiences that like, wow, we were really building these emotional connections. Now, I'm always like really transparent about the mistakes that we made as well. And I think because my brother hadn't done online and offline like that, what we didn't realize is we sold out of everything in person. We didn't even start to build an online brand until really like mid 2017. And it was like, we hit our numbers, we sold what we needed to. And Bobby Yazdani, who is like the founder of Kota Capital and probably one of my best investors, was like, Monica, like maybe it was like the end of 2015. He's like, I know we're doing what we set out to do. And he's like, but you really need to start thinking about building a digital team for 2017. And he said that at the end of 2015. And I remember thinking, what's a digital team? And why should I be worried about 2017? It's only 2015. Like, I don't even know like what I'm going
to
be doing
tomorrow. Takes a year and a half to start getting the clicks up to even become recognized.
Yeah. So I feel like it was listening to what our customers had to say. And then it, kind of in his words, it was listening to investors and advisors who could see around the corner for us. And I've had a lot of great people that see around the corner for me and are like, here's what you're missing for the future. So what online and offline simultaneously taught me launching together was that like offline blew up and it was like incredible, but we did not pay for customer acquisition until like 2017 because we didn't have the product to do it.
So I think this is like getting into the actual product itself. It's interesting. I rip on social media all the time, so this is going to blow away anyone who's listening who's like, wait, what? And I'm not just saying this because I'm become a parent. I know that I'm become the same person who I made fun of for all these years, but I really think that Instagram, for particularly young moms, gives them, I don't want to say it gives them an identity because that's like totally not what I mean, but it gives them a place to connect with other moms and share things and like have an exciting thing to do and make everything more fun. And I think other brands, and like you said, maybe this wasn't orchestrated, but it is certainly the result. Other brands and experiences in shopping, you know, in the stores, I don't think lends itself to that very well like yours does. Like I look at, like, for example, when I found out I was a girl, I was very excited. Just any child is very, very exciting. I was kind of hoping for the boy maybe a little bit. Now in retrospect, I'm very much happy with the girl route, but I don't know how to relate to a little girl. Like that's not where I'm from. So all of a sudden when I went into your store and I was like, my wife was like, oh, we have to choose, like, what's the theme? Like, what are we doing? What are the colors? And I was like, well, blush, obviously. A little bit of gold, clearly. Unicorn. I'm in tech. Unicorn. It's got to be unicorn. So that was what drew me in. And all of a sudden, this became fun for me. And now we have these, like, entire themes of clothing that we've got from you guys. And it makes it incredibly easy if you're a mom to be like, or a dad in this case, taking pictures for Instagram or taking pictures to share the experience with others. There's only so many color lines and SKUs, and I can, like, completely stage it. And it made my life a lot easier. And I think that probably translates into a lot of sales. That's just my guess.
No, absolutely. I think kind of what you were saying about Instagram too, to step back to that for a second, I think that it lended to that idea of the moments, right? It's capturing the moments. And so if we can help people to create and capture the moments, and I think it was my own, what I felt like inadequacy to a certain degree as a new mom. I mean, I didn't feel bad about it, but I always felt unprepared. Like, even for the hospital, they have a photographer that comes in and you're like, oh, I didn't even know there was going to be a photographer here. Good to know.
Going,
like,
to need about an hour. Yeah. Come back.
All I have is, like, all this hospital stuff. I'm like, oh, I wish I already knew what her name was going to be. Yep. You already know. I'm like, if I could have just had that embroidered on a blanket. And then you see these people that are so prepared. And we're like, what if we can help prepare people? We're just like, here's the look. Here's a picture of it. Here's what to aspire to. And you make it simple. And then we are really serious about color. So it's like, our pinks are the same, our purples are the same, they go together, because we know that people want to mix and match. And that's become a signature of the brand, is we vary up what we're doing. But, like, the pink from last season is going to match the pink from this season, and it's going to match the pink from next season.
40% of the country have OCD, myself included. And we are a customer of you forever.
I love it,
because the color matters. And the funny thing you said is even more true, is your store, so unlike Bye Bye Baby and others, and there's no comparison when you talk about, like, the line.
Definitely.
One is hectic and chaotic, and it's not a memory I want to keep. And it's definitely not a place to Instagram unless it's something you just saw that you cannot even believe you just saw. Which, by the way, if you're looking for experiences like that, go to any Bye Bye Baby and take any video you want of fathers expecting. It's priceless. Your store is so calm. And there's only, like, obviously I've only been to two, but there's, like, a very clear pathway. And there's only several items. There's, like, three variants of each one. And there's time to take a photograph and to, like, try this on. And it's calm.
Yeah, I felt like there was too much merchandise. I think that was kind of another business aspect of things, is, like, we've really done physical retail. I think we've had 18 pop-ups over the lifetime of the brand, which is, like, a significant amount of physical retail in a short term. And I've been so fortunate to work with, like, the CEOs of General Growth and the CEOs of Macerich, like, these great leaders that have kind of, like, helped to walk me through, like, here's what we feel like the future of retail is going to look like. And so I think one of the biggest things that we saw was, how can we make stores profitable over time, right? Like, how are you just not, like, there's so much merchandise. And so we have this inventory nimble model now. We have our full distribution center here in Chicago. We have an incredible team of customer service and people that are pick, packing, and shipping. And then we're, like, dripping inventory out constantly to the arteries, like, kind of those guide shops. We try to keep inventory as centralized as possible, because thinking about future of retail, the places where they're just packed with merchandise, not only is it a bad shopping experience, because you don't need to see, like, 7,000 things when you walk into a store. You want to be able to, like, kind of get a feel for what's really there. And so I think it not only works well from a customer perspective, but from a business perspective as well. Then it's like, we're not just inundated with inventory, and then we're like, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to do with all the inventory in the store? Because now we're turning season to season. So it keeps us nimble.
It's the question. It's sort of the same question asked from your investor, who's like, where are you going to be in 2017? What are you going to be as a digital and analog in 2021? And if you, not you, but if for anyone listening, if you're starting a company like this, the answer is, your online presence should be all over the place, and there should be just tons of stuff. First off, it shouldn't be product sales on social. It should be people's experiences. It should be the customer's kind of moments that you're sharing that you've been a part of. But in person, It should be the most simplistic, best version of yourself. It's your Tinder first date. That's what you should be in person. It should always be the absolute best version of yourself. If you're not, you're going to lose. And that's the part I think you guys do so well.
Thank you. And that's one of the things we learned from our customers, to be honest. Again, like we didn't come up with all of these brilliant things. Like, we initially went in with the Bonobos guide shop model because my brother's like, it's great. You can ship it in 2 days. And what we learned with our customers, like, one, my brother didn't have like 2 and 3 year old girls at the tool dress that found out that they couldn't carry it out. So like that never ended well for us. Usually that was like tantrums on the floor. And then two, people buy shower gifts like last minute.
Yep.
So it's like we wanted to be able to service our customers. So, okay, how can we go back to the drawing board? How can we be true to not having tons of retail in the back of these guide shops? But how can we give our customers what they actually need, which is they don't want it 2 or 3 days from now. They want it today.
The best asset so far I've heard in this conversation is just you listen. Mm-hmm. You guys, like, you listen to everything that they're doing. You watch what they're doing in the store. Like, that ultimately is like the most successful founders are the ones who just listen. You were talking about Farmer's Fridge. Luke has been in this chair like 7 times. He doesn't talk. He just listens. Mm-hmm. he literally just is great at knowing exactly what his customers want and how much of it. And I think that's ultimately the teller of mm-hmm. almost all success stories is like, we hear you, customer. As parting ways, like, what are some of the things, whether it's, you know, you talk about transparency, things you learned along the way, or things that you're looking forward to doing in the future. Mm-hmm. What are the things that right now you are most embroiled in thought on with regard to your brand?
Yeah, I think there's two things. I think as far as the brand's concerned, we're excited about the opportunity to dig into new horizons because, like, we cut our teeth on apparel. Apparel is what we know and love. But now the customer is asking us, like, tell us more. What more can we be offering? And so I think the opportunity to widen the breadth of the product that we have, but still stay very, very curated is the next step. Because as you mentioned, Bye Bye Baby, my CFO just had a baby. And like every day I'm like, well, just call me when you're on the way to Bye Bye Baby. Because I know that's when he'll have time to chat. He's literally at Bye Bye Baby every single day. So I feel like the opportunity for us is like this idea of like new horizons.
Yep.
You know, what, you know, how can we build a brand where people are coming for like some or all of what they want to register for? And how can we be really curated? We don't think you need to see 75 car seats or 250 strollers.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily have to buy it from us, but becoming part of that conversation is what I'm really excited about from a customer perspective.
Yep.
And then from a personal perspective, I'm a very unconventional CEO. Nothing about my background would have ever suggested that I would be good at this. And nothing really does suggest that I'm good at it.
So far, though, you're doing quite well.
But continuing my own evolution, like, I'm a different person than I was, a different CEO than I was 4 years ago when I launched the brand. And like, I need to start thinking about who do I need to be in like another year or two years to still do what I'm doing. Like, how do myself and my team need to evolve to get to the next stage?
I think the personal growth thing, if anyone takes away from a listener who's an entrepreneur or entrepreneur to be, you don't stop growing. The ones who stop growing personally, like you have this, it just sucks. This is part of the job. Mm-hmm. You have to grow this company. And if you have investors, you really have to grow this company. Mm-hmm. But you have to grow yourself. And sometimes you have to grow yourself even faster than the company, which means setting aside time to do that. So I hope people understand when you said, like Monica says that, like, that's super real. Mm-hmm. As far as the brand part goes, I actually, and tell me if you think this is nuts. Mm-hmm. I think one of the cool opportunities for you guys is because of how controlled the brand is, mm-hmm. to the point of color, to mm-hmm. like it's the best. It's like Apple products. Mm-hmm. Like, you're either Monica and Andy or you're not. You don't mix Monica and Andy with other people's stuff. That's just the way it is.
I love that.
It's true. And I don't even know yet. I haven't put it on yet. This is just me shopping. But your social is undoubtedly going to have different strollers, mm-hmm. different night stuff, mm-hmm. different all kinds of things. And then the central part might be, here's a child wearing a Monica and Andy, mm-hmm. you know, get up. Mm-hmm. But behind it is, you know, this one or this brand, this mm-hmm. brand, this brand. I could see you guys getting into the business of curating brands and offering through your social accounts, mm-hmm. the ability to buy, and maybe you guys make a referral or whatever, but not even ever having to actually get in the production side of this.
Totally.
Which is so brilliant.
Which I think, by the way, I agree. I think that's definitely brilliant. Like, for instance, we just started selling Bloom cribs on our site because we're like, we love this company. Nobody makes better cribs.
And
we
your don't clientele, make cribs ourselves. That's the perfect blend for them.
Yeah, because again, it's like a parent. You're like, what should I be buying? So I think you're totally right. It's not like we're ever going to make everything, and there's things that we'll never be qualified to make.
Yeah, or you don't want to. Like, you'll find out as you start to go into these SKUs that are not like anything that starts involving plastic, basically.
Exactly. Anything that involves a car seat, that is one thing I've learned. I'm like, we'll never make our own car seats. There's so many complexities.
If it has more than three ingredients, I'm out. That's like my cooking rule. If I have to do more than three ingredients, I'm not your guy. I'm find another chef. I'm not that guy.
So true.
This has been awesome. I appreciate you guys coming in here. I appreciate what you guys have done to make it easier for first-time dads who are clueless. And I'm excited to see where you guys grow and to be stopping in Monica and Andy's all over the place. If you want to, before you head out, where are the places you guys can go right now to shop, and where's the online and social?
Absolutely. So monicaandandy.com is online. Anyone can do it anytime. Monica and Andy is also our Instagram handle. And then the two places to shop here in Chicago are 2052 North Halsted, right here in Lincoln Park. And then we also have Oak Brook Shopping Center. Currently, we're located, I think, right next to Barnes & Noble.
You are, exactly. Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, you can learn more about upcoming events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog, subscribe to the newsletter at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify, follow us on social at technori, and you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.